We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It is Monday, December 6th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz. This morning, you're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. And guys, the college football regular season, believe it or not, is over. We have a playoff set. We have bowl games set. I'm a little punchy today. I was in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship game. It was a lot of fun. The juice in that stadium was great. A lot of Michigan fans there, 80-90% Michigan fans, did a live show there. But more than anything else, Gabe, we're going to get to a lot of topics, right? The playoffs, Alabama, coaching search, and how the landscape has changed over last week. But, like, I'm an Oregon Duck, okay? And right now, our coach, I think, is the Miami coach, but not. And by the time you listen to this, he might be. There have been some odd college ball coaching searches. If you recall, like the Greg Schiano Tennessee thing, the one that kind of like Clay drove on social media. But this is the honest thing, because Miami people are like, he's our coach, he's in. And everyone's like, well, actually, he hasn't signed anything yet. He hasn't actually said he's coming to Miami. They just hope he's showing up. And it's playing out for 3 days now. Oregon played on Friday. Friday morning this started. We're recording this on Sunday night. I am ready for it to be over. Like, stay or go, Mario. I like Mario Cristobal. I hope he stays. But like, just do something, please. Because he was recruiting for Oregon all weekend. They lost Friday. He spent 2 days recruiting. Like, what are we doing? If you're taking the job, just go. Just go or stay. I don't know what, Gabe. It's kind of frustrating. I'm just kind of over it.
I can see that you're frustrated. You got some spice to you, Jeff. You're like some St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail sauce right now coming out of Indy. You got a little extra kick.
I didn't go to St. Elmo's.
You didn't have time for that?
No.
You're just seeing football the whole time?
Well, because I got in. Friday night, I did my radio show because we had the Pac-12 championship game preview. Then I watched the game in my hotel room. Same exact game as the first Utah-Oregon game.
Yep.
And then Saturday, you know, I'm not going to St. Elmo's for lunch. That'd be kind of odd, I think. Yeah. So, no, and then we walked to the stadium. And like I said, it was really cool. Like, I don't miss playing at all, really. But, like, being in a stadium for a game like that, it was like the Super Bowl. Super Bowl's a little different. The Super Bowl is kind of the crowd's 50-50, but there's like this energy, right? This like real, this passion there. And you go to this college game, you get the band. We were, our set was in the concourse, basically between the lower level students and the upper level students, and the band was right below us. So we got full Michigan, like, and it was obviously a great game for Michigan. It was fun. So yeah, a lot of time in Indy. Well, quick time in Indy. No St. Elmo's, unfortunately. Flew back, and now we're here talking about the cultural playoff, which is final. It's set.
I can't wait to talk about it, but I have a quick reaction. I think your Mario Cristobal angst. What's he gonna do? Maybe. This is like the new thing with college football coaches. Maybe he's just trying to get a South Florida accent going. Maybe he wants to make sure he's workshopping. He wants to sound like a local when he arrives in Miami.
But he's from Miami. He's from Miami.
It's been a while. Maybe he's got an Oregon accent to kick. Coaches like to sound like the locals.
Here's my general take on that. Again, by the time you listen to this, he might have already decided. Miami tweeted out, someone in Miami tweeted out, there's a noon deadline. A noon deadline for Monday. He has to decide by noon Eastern. Like, is he taking the job or not? Like, what is going on? My general sense is that he wants to go home. He wants to coach in Miami. But Oregon gives him a better opportunity to win right now. The roster is better. The infrastructure is better. The staff is better. The money is probably about the same. But Miami's promising more money for coaches, which is what Oregon. And in Oregon, he gets whatever he wants. I think there's a hesitation to leave what he's built at Oregon to go rebuild in Miami. And there's not a rebuild, but he's going to have to retool that roster to get it to where he wants to be at. So I think that's kind of pulling at him a little bit. Because he recruited all weekend. You know, the Brian Kelly went to LSU. There was reports he was recruiting for Notre Dame. But as soon as that report broke, he stopped recruiting and took the LSU job. This report broke Friday before they played Utah. And the whole weekend he recruited. Again, we're doing this Sunday at like 11 a.m. Eastern. There was tweets. Mario's going to Miami. Deal's done. It's Sunday night. No national reporters reported it yet. Bruce Feldman, Pete Dammel. No one has. Just the Miami side. And it's just odd. I've never seen a situation where it's like, well, he's going there and only one side can confirm it. Like, no one at Oregon's confirmed it. Oregon thinks he's going. I think I've been told they think he's going. I don't know. He's not gone yet. It's odd.
I wouldn't take the job. I feel like the Oregon job's way better. I don't know another job where, you know, Phil Knight takes personal meetings with your top players, yeah, where you have the best facilities in the world, where you have a straight shot to the championship game in your fairly well-respected conference every year.
Yeah.
I don't see how these two programs compare, but we'll see.
Well, look, I mean, here's the thing about Oregon. Since 2005, we've had four coaches win 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Bellotti, Chip Kelly, Helfrich, and Mario. The last two seasons, the last two full seasons, 19 and 21, Mario's won 10 games. Like, whoever takes the job, we're going to win football games still.
Yeah.
We probably won't recruit the same level that Mario has recruited at. You've had three coaches go to Rose Bowls. Like, we're going to be fine. Miami's had one 10-win season since joining the ACC in 2004.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of work for them to get back to where they want to be. But Mario, again, from Miami, his family is there. His mom is ailing right now. I think his brother is like a lieutenant in the police police force there. You know, his offensive line coach at Oregon, Alex Maribal, they're high school buddies. Like, he's gonna. I get the allure of going home, and there's no. You know, he could go home, I guess, in a couple years, too. It's not like this is the only time he can go coach Miami, but there's an allure to going back home. I'm not as nostalgic for home as he won a national championship at Miami. Like, I get why he wants to go home, but I think Oregon right now is the better job. The recruiting, obviously, is tougher to get guys to Eugene. There's more bodies in Florida, but Oregon will be fine in the end. I mean, we'll be okay. It's hard to screw up Oregon, man. We have a lot of things going well for us.
Well, let's talk about some teams who have even more going for them right now, because we just spent a few minutes on losers and coach talk, and maybe we'll come back to some coach talk at the end. I want to talk about the winners. So the field is set. You mentioned it. We're looking at our rankings. I would love to pick apart some of those rankings as we go, but what was your first reaction when you saw 1 through 4 come out? How do you like these matchups? What's your take on the playoff?
Yeah, so the playoff is Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati. I think Notre Dame is 5, and I think Ohio State finished 6, correct, in the way it went.
Mm-hmm.
So once Alabama beat Georgia, we'll get to that game in a second, they were both going to be in the playoff, and they were both not going to play each other in the first round. So to me, it didn't matter where they ranked Michigan. They could have ranked Michigan 1 and Georgia 4. They could have ranked Michigan 2 and Georgia 3 as they did. They can rank Bama 2 and Michigan 3, and that wouldn't make sense. They could, like, there was any variation was going to end up with Michigan playing Georgia. Sucks for them because they were probably going to play, if Alabama had lost, they'd play Cincinnati in the first round, and they would probably end up playing in the title game. Now they get Georgia, who did not look like the team we thought they were going to be all season long. So I'm good with it. I mean, I think that the real question would have been, had Bama lost, is the fourth team a Baylor team who has three top 15 wins this season?
Yeah.
In a conference championship game over a Notre Dame team who's one loss, but really, who'd they beat? No one. So I do wonder, that would have been fun to debate. Obviously, we didn't get there because Alabama, but I think there's a debate too, like, is Georgia more deserving than Notre Dame? Is Georgia more deserving than Baylor, who won their conference? I don't know, but I'm fine with these. These are four best teams, and I'm good with it.
Okay, well, I don't know why you and everyone I follow just immediately agreed that obviously they were going to put Bama and Georgia on other sides of the draw to set up what we assume is a rematch. I'm not convinced that people want to see that rematch or it's the most fair way to handle this. And I think, just to dive right in, I think it would have been a hell of a lot more fun and potentially better business overall to throw Michigan that one seed or drop Georgia down to the four.
Oh, yeah.
Let the Bama-Georgia rematch happen in the first round.
Yeah, there's an argument for that. It definitely would make the championship game less regionalized, right? Because then you would be guaranteed to have a Midwest team play a team in the South. And now you're not guaranteed that. You might have a Georgia-Alabama championship game, which is, they're both favorites. Georgia's favored by 7 or 8, and Alabama's favored by, I think Alabama's going to win that game by a lot, by the way. I don't see why not. Michigan's got a chance to beat Georgia, but their downfield passing game, I don't think it's good enough to beat Georgia, which we saw Alabama was really able to take advantage of some of those downfield throws. So, it would have been more exciting for the, but I think that, you know, you want the two best teams, right? And the two best teams in this instance are going to be Alabama and Georgia. But I don't know. This is upset. Look, we entered this past weekend, I think it was at the last 24 Power 5 conference championship games, we had one upset that was Oregon over Utah. As far as like an underdog winning, like this weekend, we had a bunch of underdogs winning, right? Bama, Baylor. It was a different weekend than we had in the past, and that's okay. So maybe the playoff will be that way too, because this has been a weird college football season. So maybe the playoff will be different.
No, can I crush your dreams and everyone else's?
Yeah, it's going to be Bama in Georgia. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so here's the thing, man. I said this before the season started. I've said this to you a few times since we've been working together, and I definitely said it after Alabama lost this year. It doesn't matter, okay? They're going to storm their way to the finish line no matter what. All right? This system is broken. Keep this in mind. Neutral site, but in Georgia's backyard. They lost a quarterback, a running back, two receivers, and two linemen basically in the first round. They reload completely an offense that puts up 40-plus against what we're told is like the best defense in history. There's a former assistant to Saban coaching the other team. And it's never even a close game. When it matters, they just win. It's broken. Until something changes in the way that teams can recruit in college football, it will be Bama, 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 and they will always be the favorite when it matters.
Yes, but I don't know what the solution is, because it feels very unlikely to sort of put a cap on recruiting, right? Like, what do you make the solution out to be?
I don't, this is where I have to just claim ignorance. All I can do is identify an obvious problem. I have no solution. I do not know. You're smart. Tell me a smart way to fix this. Because it's not fun. It's just not. And I don't have anything against Saban or Alabama, but like, it's not interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting because I like watching good teams play. So I'm okay with the idea of these teams like playing each other because they're good. Now, again, I understand like you're a fringe, not a fringe fan, but you like USC, you like the West Coast football, and to see two South teams play, two teams from the South playing each other doesn't interest you as much as it might me, because I like watching them. I get that. I totally get that. But a 12-team playoff would make it more interesting because everyone would get in, right? You'd have two West Coast teams most likely get in. And again, are they winning? No, but I guess you'd have a little more fun in the playoffs. You'd have some teams to root for.
Okay, so 12-team playoff, sign me up. Anything that makes it harder for it to just be the inevitable Bama victory. Because we looked it up, right? So this playoff's been around for a while, and that felt like a more equitable way than the BCS or just the random bowl system of previous generations. Alabama's made the playoff 6 of 8 years. They've made the championship game 5 times. They've won 3 of them.
Yeah.
They're probably going to win this year. That makes them winners of like almost half of the championships that have existed under this system. One team has won more than a third, and they're always in it. They always have a chance. So like that makes Brady look like, you know, oh yeah, he's on a good run. It's insane how dominant they are. There's nothing close to parity. And just so you know, has nothing to do with region for me, Jeff. It has to do with lack of competitiveness. I didn't like it when the Yankees won every World Series for a bunch of years there. It just got boring.
Yeah. You know, I think with college football, though, with the players rotating in and out so much, you do get a different team. I mean, like, there are players on Alabama, you know, Will Anderson, who's been hot this year and who might be the best player in all college football, Bryce Young. I mean, there's more players you had not seen in this spot before, but you're right. I mean, seeing the same team all the time would get boring. I'm different because I just like watching good football, so I'm okay with it, but I get why that would bother a lot of people. I understand that.
It's an inevitability. Bryce Young's going to win the Heisman, okay? Like, first year as a starter, he's just going to win a Heisman and a national championship? I don't even know how to grade if this guy's great or not. He's just automatically going to put up numbers and get wins.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Nobody builds anything. It's just a system now. And by the way, if you aren't a starter within a year, you're going to be off to the other school, and they're just going to
Well, but the difference is that at Alabama, you're not. I mean, guys stay at Alabama because if you get to play 1 or 2 years, you go to the NFL. Like, that's the thing about Alabama.
Yeah, the factory mentality takes a lot of the joy out of it for me. That's all. And I don't think I'm alone on this. I think a lot of fans, wherever they're from, whoever they root for, are kind of tired of, oh, we thought this was the year that it wasn't going to be Bama. And when push came to shove, like they just dominated this team that we were all telling ourselves was good. They embarrassed them.
Yeah. No, and they did. I was just watching that game and like, oh, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
So I mean, you know, the Heisman's a shoo-in for Bryce also. I don't know, man. I hope I'm not peeing in everyone's cornflakes this morning as they listen to the show.
I mean, I feel like the Heisman should go to Will Anderson, who's the best player in Alabama's team, but I don't think it will be.
But yeah, I don't. Good luck with that. I know people are trying to talk themselves, and this will segue us, talk themselves into this kid's Hutchinson in Michigan. I know people like Pickett at Pitt, next Steelers quarterback. Just wait. But I mean, it's Bryce. It's Alabama. They're going to be favored by 2 touchdowns in the opening round and a touchdown whoever they face in the final, and they're probably going to win by more than that. You know, see you in January.
Yeah, I mean, that we kind of already feel what's going to happen.
So let's talk about the team that is at least a little bit more intriguing right now. And sure, they have their haters too, but this Harbaugh-led Michigan team is looking really, really good. They've been hot for weeks. You know, they put up 42, which is a meaningful number in the area right now. Go look it up if you aren't sure why. It's kind of a bummer of a story, but it means a lot there. They look good, man. Harbaugh finally sort of shook the ghosts. I'm rooting for them. I've got friends who've gone there. They seem fun, but I don't actually think they have a hope. They're a balanced team. They're top 20 in offense and defense, but I don't think it makes any damn difference if they run into Georgia or Bama.
Yeah. So the thing about Michigan is I am really happy for Michigan's success for this reason. Is we just saw a coaching cycle. We'll get to this in a second, by the way, where teams fire coaches like right away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to Miami. Manny Diaz is 12-5 in his last 2 years in the ACC. Like, that's not bad.
Right.
And they're letting him go for Mario, obviously. And Michigan said, look, we're going to stick with Harbaugh because guess what? We're not hiring a better coach. We're not finding someone else to win us 10 games as often as he does. They stuck with him. I think Harbaugh, to his credit, they are much faster this season. Remember Ohio State, when they've been losing to Ohio State, they just look slower, right?
Right.
They don't look slow anymore. They look fast on the field. They play fast. So credit Harbaugh for changing maybe some of his recruiting, going after different players. And they play a repeatable style of football. Rush the passer, protect the quarterback. Their offensive line is not the best at run blocking, but they do enough of working the edges and then kind of working the middle where they get enough play, they just play with a lot of effort and passion, energy. So I like that Michigan stuck with Harbaugh and it paid off, because I hope other schools stick with coaches in down years and it pays off for them afterwards. But to your point about can they beat Georgia, it's going to be tough because we saw Georgia now, the only time that they've been stressed is with a passing attack down the field. That's not Michigan's game.
No.
That's not what they do. And if you're one-dimensional, which they're not one-dimensional, but they would prefer not to, like, they're not getting in four wide to throw the football. They're very schemed up when they throw the ball. Play action pass, trick play, stuff like that. You're not beating Georgia that way. So the way you beat Georgia if you're Michigan is you just have to not let them score. And you have to, the game's got to be a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, and then anything can happen, right? And then if it's 13-10 or 17-14, special teams play, string a couple plays together, get in field goal range. Like that's the way they have to win the game. But I like the way they play, their style, their energy, their passion. And I like that Harbaugh was – they let him stick around, and he made some changes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I also like that – he stuck around, but this is sort of, it'll get into all these other coaching changes we talk about. Like, the money was there. Like, there isn't a better coaching job in college football than the one he kind of had, especially if they're giving him a few years to figure it out. So it's not surprising to me he stayed. How long he'll be there if this, you know, if he wins another game or two this year, who knows? I don't know, man. I find that as good as they've looked, their defense will have to basically pitch a shutout to have a chance in their next two games. I don't see how they score on an SEC team. I just don't. And, you know, it was fun watching their running back pile up some stats a couple weeks ago, but no one thinks they're doing that against NFL players. And that's all there is when you play Georgia and Alabama. There's a bunch of NFL guys.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I mean, you're with me. They're probably a loser against Georgia, and We're barely talking Cincy, so let's give it a spin. Is there anything to say about Cincy other than way to go, way to get there? You proved something to everyone just by arriving, but nobody expects you to even compete with Bama.
Sounds about right. I think that the committee still tried to find ways to keep them out as much as they could, but they get rewarded for having basically two undefeated seasons, right? And you know, the ability to win the games they're supposed to win. But there's a big jump up now. And a reminder, guys, these are playoff games, right? It's not catching the loser of the SEC Championship game in the Peach Bowl. You're playing a Bama team that's trying to win a championship, and they're going to try to run right through you. And now let's see what you got.
Yeah, I mean...
It's one of two ways. Either it goes, Bama wins by four touchdowns, and everyone's like, told you, we don't want to see this anymore. Or it's close, and people are like, well, you know what, I feel like that's the latter. I feel like it's a when Nick Saban in these playoff games, when he has a month to prepare, you're not winning often. It's that second game he loses more often than not, I think, right? It's not the first. He doesn't lose in the semis very often. I don't think he's lost in the semis. Yeah. It's in the championship game to Ohio State, right, and Clemson. Or he's lost once it just seems like it'd be, you know, it's just again, it feels I don't think they're going to win. I'll put it like that.
All right. Well, so they are playing on behalf of a lot of the group of five teams who finished season undefeated and not had the chance, right? So they get the chance.
I think Cincinnati was the only team who finished season undefeated.
Well, there've been other undefeated teams in the BCS era.
Well, I'm saying with this season, though, the only team out of 130.
Oh, in all of college football.
That finished undefeated.
Yeah, well, UTSA blew it. Yeah, as far as I know, I'm not aware of any other team that completed a season undefeated this year. But there have been others in the past. So they're playing for the UCS and the TCUs and the Boise States who did pull the upset. And Utah and Marshall and Tulane and all these rando play teams that always wanted to make their case and never really got the chance. And so the question is, with Cincy, with all that pressure, do they just get blasted and set all those schools back for another two decades?
Yes.
Or if they hang with Alabama, does this path get easier for other teams in the future?
I think they get blasted.
Yeah, unfortunately, so do I. Let me ask this, and I don't mean this to be rude, and I'm also, it's because I don't know a lot of the players. Well, are there any guys on either side of the ball at Cincy that you've seen, again, not to be insulting to them, but that could start for Alabama? Like, are there guys you could pick up and move over and get and actually give them a starting job? Or is it 11 for 11, the better player is on Bama?
Yeah, I think that's 11 for 11.
Yeah, I mean, certainly on the line, right?
Or at least 22. I mean, obviously, Alabama's out Mechie with the torn ACL, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I don't think that – I think that's – again, they're just better.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, tying my anti, you know, Bama rant and my good on you Cincy thoughts together. I would say anyone who's not rooting for, if you don't come into this with a team, if you didn't go to one of these schools or haven't been rooting for one of these teams for a lot of years, and you're not rooting for Cincy, there's something wrong with you. I'll say it.
It's going to be a tough couple of weeks for you with Alabama and the Patriots. So you gotta get your mind right, buddy. Because we'll do an NFL show. And the NFL show will be done, I believe, before Monday Night Football, unless we change what we're doing. So we will record the show tomorrow. And the New England Patriots will be atop the AFC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. No, I am right. There are, as of right now, the Chiefs win tonight as we're recording this. There'll be four teams at 8-4 at the top of the AFC.
Ravens, Harbaugh's brother, got a little gambly. He could have been atop all of that, except he rolled the dice.
Yeah, so it's interesting that for those who don't know, they went. I know it's a college show, but the Ravens are at Pittsburgh. They score with a couple seconds left. They're down one. Extra point sent it to overtime. They went for two because they had no more players on defense left. They had like no more. Humphrey got hurt. They had no one left. And so Harbaugh's like, look, we got no one healthy. Let's go for it. And the guy was open. And dropped a pass. The throw was a little bit off. Dropped a pass. So, all right. I mean, aggressive. I like it. I'll take it.
Which Harbaugh's had a better year?
Oh, interesting. Because John Harbaugh has played like a million guys. They've had so many guys hurt.
Yeah. He's coached up that team even though they lose today.
They lost left tackle, cornerback 1 and 2, four running backs, linebackers. They've had a rough go of it. Michigan has not had that injury problem. Quorum was out for a couple games, but he's back. So they lost Bell, I guess, early in the season, their best wide receiver. But they haven't had what John has to deal with. And it's a different, you know, obviously different competition level.
All right. Well, let's keep talking about coaches and uncomfortable situations. So we touched on it, but Brian Kelly is the new coach at LSU, but it's off to a weird start. Okay, people I think probably got the reference earlier, but he was at a big rally at LSU and people are laughing because it almost sounds like he figured out how to sound Southern. Definitely not from down there, but he's picking up some y'alls pretty quickly.
He's from Massachusetts. So I live in the South. I say y'all. I showed the video to my wife who was from the South and she's like, that was bad. He just like he tried to draw it out, man. It was funny. It was so funny. Good for you, bro. I mean, look, if I got $10 million a year too, I would do whatever. I'd be Boston accent, whatever you need me to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, so that wasn't really. I mean, that was fun for Twitter to poke fun at. But here's my real question. Like, you know, did LSU go get the wrong guy? We all think LSU could be one of the top jobs and schools programs in the country. Just a couple of years ago, they were. I don't know, man. It looked like pretty quick, though. Notre Dame players were like, on to the next guy.
Yeah.
Kind of over Brian Kelly pretty quick. I mean, I know it's dumping season on him, but it doesn't seem like anyone has any real affection for him. Is he the guy to turn an LSU program around?
So a couple of things to note. Let's go with the Brian Kelly first. We'll get to Marcus Freeman. So, yes, Brian Kelly can coach his ass off.
He's a very good coach.
He went undefeated at Cincinnati. Within 2 years, he had Notre Dame, I think, in the BCS championship game against Alabama. And then they got smoked. They have recruiting kind of restrictions, right? It's tough to recruit to Notre Dame now. All he does is win a lot of football games. I've asked people at who, I don't know if they play with Kelly, but knows the program very well. And, you know, there's all these images of Kelly from when he first was coaching there. Remember how angry he was on the sidelines? He's like red and just like yelling and screaming. That's not what he is anymore. He's mellowed out.
Yeah.
He realized you can. And I don't get that about college coaches, man. They're so freaking intense. Like they're on the field. They have a, college coaches need to have an adult grab them by the waistband and pull them back to the sidelines because they're out of control. It's unbelievable. And it's just, it blows my mind. So I think he'll do really well there. He can obviously recruit the area. I think he'll do fine there. As far as Notre Dame, it's pretty interesting. So Marcus Freeman gets a job. Marcus Freeman was at Cincinnati as a DC and now Notre Dame for one season and gets the head coaching job. That's a pretty big ascent, pretty fast, Gabe.
Yeah.
And the players like him, and that's great. But I am always skeptical of players' coaches. I'm always worried about it. It doesn't mean that he won't work. Doesn't mean that he might have some hiccups early on and figure it out. But I do always kind of worry about, I just worry about that in you know, kind of generally speaking. But everyone speaks highly of him. So like, I don't know Marcus Freeman. Everyone speaks great of him. I just would say, generally speaking, I do worry a little bit about players' coaches.
Okay.
Especially ones that don't. This is a big time job, and he has not had any head coaching experience anywhere. I'm not saying, Lincoln Riley didn't either. It worked out well for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. I'm not saying you have to have head coaching experience to have a big job like this. But Lincoln Riley was also the OC for Bob Stoops for a couple years.
Yep.
Freeman didn't do any of that. So I'm excited to watch. He's coaching a New Year's Six bowl game for his first game.
Yeah.
Because it's not like an interim coach where you just sit out the bowl game. It's his job. He's been there. So he gets a really tough first game.
Yeah, well, good luck to him. Players, you know, go check it out on social. Players are rallying behind them, including some big-name guys. And Notre Dame, I'll say this. It can be tedious, actually, for those of us who aren't fans. But they do have culture, and they do seem like they recruit some pretty bright guys. You don't hear about their guys getting in a lot of trouble, or at least it doesn't make it to my timeline. Like, it might be an easier place to step in than some programs where you're playing babysitter a lot. I don't think that's the case at Notre Dame, so maybe he'll be all right.
That's not, and that's the thing too. Is like, you know, the type of players you recruit, you're not recruiting jackasses, right? Like, that's,
it doesn't seem like it. I mean, a lot of the guys who play there come out and go into the media, and they have good NFL careers.
Yeah,
they seem, I mean, it's a generalization, but we're trying to be positive here. They seem like an easier group of guys to manage than some of the other programs. So all right, so let's talk about a couple other guys who are stepping into big roles. So because of all the coaches moving around, Oklahoma, huge job.
Yeah.
Brett Venables, former Clemson coordinator, is going there. I don't know anything about that. I know that they had a pretty good defense when it mattered. Now he's the guy in charge at Oklahoma. Do you like the fit?
Yeah. I will rely on the Oklahoma people I know, and they love the fit.
Okay.
He used to be there way back with Bob Stoops.
Yep.
So he knows the program. I saw Dusty Dvorak tweet out how happy he was, and Gabe Eichert, who I know, and R.J. Young, who I work with at Fox Sports, who's an Oklahoma guy. They love this. And he's been a good coach at Clemson. He is bided his time. He's waited for the right job, and it's a big job. Now, it's a 180 from what Lincoln Riley was, right? He's an offensive guy, so you bring a defensive guy in, and maybe that's good. Bring a defensive guy in. You know, you look at the playoff, you have three defensive coaches in the playoff and one offense coach in Michigan. And Jerome Harbaugh doesn't even call the plays anymore. It's someone else's offense. It's his offense, but Gattis calls the plays. So it's a good coach. It's a good hire by Oklahoma. You know, Oregon might get that. We might be left out of this party, man. Everyone else is hiring people away. So really, Oklahoma should be happy to go to, from that. Now, Venable's one of those guys, though, that has a get-back coach. Like, coach, man, you can't be that crazy, buddy. Like, we got to calm down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, let's see if he can keep them at the level they're at. He may not be pumping out Heisman winners every few years, but, you know, if he can win 10 games, he's got a shot in Oklahoma, at least until they move to the SEC.
I'm glad you mentioned 10 games because that used to be the standard, kind of like 10 games, right? Like, because their programs, we talk a lot about Matt Campbell at Iowa State. They've never won 10 games.
Right.
Like, that is a really, really tough thing to do.
Yep.
And it's great when teams can do that. But it's interesting because Oregon won 10 games this year. Oklahoma won 10 games this year. And Oklahoma won 9 or 10. They only won 9. Oh, I know Oregon won 10 for sure. And I'm like disappointed. Like I should be happy we won 10 games. Like that is a big accomplishment.
Yep.
I think and because of the playoff and all the pressure there is to make the playoff with a 14 playoff, a 10-win season is looked at as something that's not good. I know we didn't end well. We got blown up by Utah twice. But like I am super excited to get 10 wins. And if Oklahoma continues to play that way, get 10 wins, they should be fine with Brett Venables. Now the SEC will make it tougher, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, good luck getting 10 wins when you're playing half your schedule's ranked opponent. But all right, so a couple names to throw around, and then we'll have a few weeks to try to talk about the games in front of us. So let's just spend another minute on some coaches. So everyone loves the coach at Baylor. Speaking of a 10 win, they pulled off 11 wins. They looked great down the stretch. So everyone's talking about their head coach being an ex guy. You mentioned Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Joe Brady, who just a minute ago was the hottest guy coming out of college after leading that LSU offense, goes to the NFL. Now he's out of a job very quickly as a Panthers coordinator. He could come back into the mix. Who's the next hot guy? Because you're right, the dominoes fall fast.
There really is not right now. There's just not a hot guy.
Oh, so they'll just all go be Saban coordinators next year? Is that what it is?
I'm trying to think of like who, like, you know, because Oregon's going to be the last really big job open. They're not going to, there's no one that's like going to come there that save the day. There's no like hot coordinator.
Well, so play it out though. So if Aranda goes to Oregon, let's say, this all might sound silly to people by the time they click play on this.
He's not going to Oregon, but sure.
Well, I'm just saying
he's a West Coast guy though.
You know, if Cristobal moves and there's an opening, that's a huge job. Then a big name guy wants it. A lesser job is now open, but it's a raise for someone. So if Baylor was an open job, a lot of people want that. I guess I'm just wondering, who are the people that the smart guys are talking about right now?
I don't have a great answer for that.
All right.
I mean, they're you know, both Clemson coordinators, and Tony Elliott, the OC, might go coach at Duke. Obviously, Venables just got hired. And there's some, you know, there's some movement with like Kentucky's offensive coordinator is kind of young and good. People talk about him possibly moving up at some point, but it's not like a must have young hot coordinator.
Okay. And what's his name? Dan Lanning at the coordinator at Georgia. I feel like, you know, maybe he should have cashed it in a week or two ago, but guys like that who coach up a side of the ball that's just been phenomenal all season, that, you know, isn't this their chance to jump up?
It is their chance, but those jobs have to be available, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm counting on a Baylor job opening up before too long, but we don't have the domino yet. So, all right, look, we're going to be talking about college football until the end of the season. So we get the Heisman coming up. We'll have a little fun talking about that. I know it's a hard one to get into, but we'll have some news there. Then we'll get ready for the playoff and then the champ game, and we'll preview it as best we can. I do want, Jeff, for us to get a little smarter on Cincinnati, or I'll get smarter on Cincinnati so that we can at least talk them up like they have a shot. I'd just love to imagine there's a way. Because talking about Alabama as an inevitability is just driving me crazy.
Well, look, we're going to – I plan, and my championship game preview was like 2-6, I think, against the spread. I plan to try to get as many bowl games on this show.
All right.
That we can get to, as far as giving you guys a little heads up. And as we move into college basketball, we'll do a little college basketball, I'd imagine. I don't know how many big topics we'll talk about, but we could talk about some college basketball. And then draft. This will be the place to get your draft stuff at. We're going to have a lot of draft talk as we continue. We're going to see is the bowl games, you know, which draft guys are going to play. Probably not a lot. That's the trend, obviously, now. And we'll have a lot of fun in this college episode every week. Hope you guys enjoyed our Powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We'll be back tomorrow talking the Patriots. That's number one seed in the AFC Conference. Cannot wait to have this discussion with you, Gabe. And all right, guys, have a great day. Have a great night. I don't know if Oregon has a job opening. I don't know. If you're listening to this in the morning, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But at Jeff Schwartz, I'll have you covered for all my Oregon thoughts if you are tuning into the podcast for that. Have a great day. Talk to everyone later.